And good morning. It is 9:10 and a beautiful 66 out there. I'm Larry Long, and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. Now, if you have a question for Andy this morning, here's the numbers you'll need, 382-4280 if you're calling outside the Kalamazoo area. We have a toll-free number, 877-382-4280. And now, over the garden fence, here's your host, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. Beautiful morning.
It is, just like you had said, sunny and...
Been waiting months for this.
We have. It's just, you know, last week of Mother's Day was nice, but I'm not into cold rain, Larry.
No.
So, hey, good morning, everybody. Like Larry says, what a beautiful morning that God made. So thank you all and welcome to another great edition of Over the Garden Fence. I just wanted to thank you all today for taking a few minutes out of your day to join me and our daily walk in the garden. Highlights in our yard this week and in our garden. Just a few things as things are leafing out. And, you know, it's really nice to see some of that. I commented on the rain a second ago, but you know what? It greened things up. We were at a job site, and in the morning, it was dry and it rained. And the afternoon, the customer had said, you know what? I think everything greened up in a couple hours. It just turns right around. So rain really rejuvenates. But the highlights kind of come on when that rain starts getting moisture in the ground, things start leafing out, and my Veritas, or Verities, green cutleaf Japanese maple this week is just in its full prime, nice, soft, lime green foliage with nice flowering azaleas and wood ferns and Christmas ferns up by the house on the east side of the house out in the yard. And farther out by our chicken coop, we got a nice circular flagstone little area, a bermed area. Have a nice garden with beautiful Luessa crab and flowering in its full bloom and all its glory, surrounded by Tinkerbell lilac and oh so easy apple roses. So it's just kind of nice to see everything kind of flushing out. So speaking of crab apples, and I love our Luessa crab, it's a nice weeping variety. Crab apples can actually be, sounds funny, one of the easiest and one of the hardest trees for some homeowners. I think over the years, crabs have kind of got a bad name. There's thousands of varieties of crab apples, and a lot of the older varieties, I was telling Larry a few minutes ago, originally ornamental trees. Long time ago, somebody wanted a nice flowering tree. Crab apple was probably one of the first choice. A lot of bigger, older varieties, names that have Waddell's has dropped. We tried to bring on the new and drop the old. And so, you know, things like old varieties like fruit drop, leaf drop, items that the tree was huge and you end up placing it by the house and ends up rubbing against the siding and the blocking the privacy, blocking the view of the windows and stuff. Well, Waddell's actually works very hard on the ratings looking at the crab apples themselves. We look at things like fire blight, how resistant the plant is for that, how resistant scab and powdery mildew and canker is for these trees. We try to look at the flower, the size of the tree itself. And like I said, we drop the old and we try to bring on the new. So here's just a few examples and some of our staples in our white crab lineup. We have an item called lollipop crab. It's a compact, beautiful, pure white flowering crab. It is grafted on a 4-foot trunk, and so that trunk size will never get bigger. It'll just get larger in caliper, but the head size will only get about 6 foot by 8 foot. Very nice, compact plant, great for up by the house. Variety that I bet a bunch of you know called Sergeant Crab, probably one of a great standby. Small, white flowering. It is a bud crab. And a bud crab means B-U-D. Bud crab means when it is closed, it is pink. And when it is open, it is white. And so it's just awesome red fruit. That's where Sergeant Crab has gotten its name from. Bright fruit that is persistent. We have a spring snow crab. And spring snow is right now in the market one of the only varieties of fruitless crab apples It's a large white apple blossom, pure white, 18 to 20 foot size on a spring snow. We have Siberian crab, and it is a colonnade crab. It's a columnar variety. It's an awesome variety, which is only 3 foot wide at maturity. So say between you and your neighbors where it's a very tight area, maybe you still want to get a little privacy or some flowering instead of an evergreen. Nice little lineup of that. In our pink and red crab lineup, we have items called Red Baron. Red Baron is a great true red, bright, deep color. It's a columnar variety, and it actually holds its leaf very nice during the winter months. We have Prairie Fire Crab, which is kind of a almost a hot fuchsia pink. The leaves turn burgundy green in the summer. It's actually one of our highest rated crabs. We have Royal Raindrops, which is only 2 years old on the market. It's a great fuchsia pink. It is the best rated crab. It's a bright burgundy foliage in the summertime. So like instead of a ornamental plum, which gets a lot of issues as far as bug and disease, Royal Raindrops or the Prairie Fire Crab is a great substitution if you want a burgundy leafed tree in the summer months. Coral Burst Crab. It's a tricolor flower. It is in the bud crab family, but it is closed pink, open, kind of a red, and flushed fully open in a white. So you kind of get that tricolor flower. It's again grafted on a 4 foot trunk. It's a compact plant that only maxes out about 10 by 10. So here's some names you guys all might know that we drop. In time, we'll be dropping Snowdrift Crab, Perfusion Crab, and Royalty Crab. Those are all great varieties, but here's some of the new. And why keep an item that might drop and look old? And Larry and me are talking about crab apples as a kid. Some of those crabs, Larry, very large fruit.
Oh, yeah.
And that fruit would almost turn into a weapon with your brother or sister chucking
almost.
Them.
Almost, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe a window or two.
Had a welt or two, and yeah, I think a window or two might have.
I told Larry, I think I even did one at school. I'm sorry, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's nice to have fruit that holds, that's not messy. It's persistent, which means the birds eat it, and it's not a mess in the yard. So when we're done with this caller, I've got some issues with helping you guys with your existing crab that's in your yard, what we need to do with that older variety. So if you want, Larry, we can go to the phone.
Let's do that. And we have Pat in Kalamazoo. And good morning, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Good morning.
How are you today? Can I be of help?
Well, I just have a quick question, I think. I have some zebra grass that's in my yard, and the pods are getting really big, and I want to split them. I just wonder if it's too late in the season already to split those.
You know what, Pat? I would say no. On most perennials, because they're up and going, yes. But it sounds funny, Pat. It's a grass. You know,
yeah.
Most people don't think about it, but Pat, go ahead and lift them. It'll be a job. Lifting up zebra grass will be a big root structure. And my mom used to show me, we used to take a saw or an axe and cut that up in quarters, just almost saw the trunk or the big clump right in two and four, split it up like a pie, and reset it. But when you're Pat, are some of the green coming up out of the plant now?
Yeah, some of the shoots are probably 8 to 10 inches now.
No biggie. So go ahead and just do a little mowing on it. It sounds funny. Just take a head shear, clip it off, and it's grass. Within a week or so, it'll come back. And last summer, I did not get to all of my ornamental grasses in time. And so that old foliage had the new growth coming up. I just took head shears to them, Pat, trimmed them right off. And it was a little late, but they did fine. And do the same with you.
Beautiful.
Cut it back hard, get that thing mudded in, and zebra grass transplant's fine.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck on that.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Pat. And we are going to be right back with more of Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. Again, if you have a question, 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280.
The savings are huge now during the 67th anniversary celebration at Waddell's Garden Center. Here's a question for you. How many times do you want to plant a tree, shrub, or flower in the same place? Well, obviously only once, and that's why Waddell's has 10 Michigan State certified nursery specialists on staff to advise you on which plants, fertilizers, and pest controls you'll need to obtain the best soil conditions. To celebrate their anniversary, Waddell's has many of their landscape plants on sale. Woodward Glove Arborvitae are just $21.99, and this week, buy three and get one free. Four varieties of 3 to 4 foot tall crabapple trees are just $19.67. Petunia and begonia flats are just $11.67. Tomato plants are $1.67, and all vegetable and flower seed packets are 25% off. Woodell's nursery specialist suggests planting with Espoma Organic Plant Food. All three sizes of Espoma Plant Tone are on sale, as well as Holly Tone, Tomato Tone, and four other blends of all-natural Espoma plant foods. Don't miss the final days of the big 67th anniversary celebration at Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
Good morning. Once again, it is 9:21 and a beautiful 67 out on our Saturday morning. And welcome back to Over the Garden Fence. Once again, here's your host, Andy Woodell.
Hey, Larry, thank you. And, you know, Larry, we're just talking about crab apples this morning.
Right.
Just how to maybe some of the new, looking at some of the old. And Larry, sometimes you buy a house or you rent a house, and you know what? Sometimes it's the only tree in your yard. And so my house in Fulton for years had a big silver maple, and people would say, why don't you cut that thing out of there? But you know what? If it's your only tree, your only couple trees, you kind of you cherish it a little bit.
Know.
So, you know, old crab apples are the same way. Some are just stunning. Over at Upjohn and Pharmacia and Pfizer now, I guess, tons of beautiful old crabs that were planted back in years ago that just are very stunning. And so there's a lot of nice crabs, but some of the older varieties need some work. And say some people say, how do I take care of it? And some of the issues is when do I prune? So the plant is done flowering within probably the next week or 10 days. So that would be the time to prune hard. So if you're going to be pruning, getting out the old wood, everybody, make sure if you're going to prune hard, water hard. Sounds funny. Larry, we were digging with a tree spade the other night, digging 36-inch root balls, digging up 7, 8, 9 foot evergreens. And that tree spade was coming up with a 36-inch chalk. The ball was so dry already. And we're spring. It's May, Larry. It should be moist. And it was coming up one after another. It was almost like powder. If you're going to do a hard prune, everybody, make sure there's water to support the new growth that's coming on. Because if you prune a tree hard, the roots are still there. So if you have a chance to have that flush out, it's got to have water behind it. Number two, look at a spray program and think, if I want to have this plant have clean foliage. Activinate is an item now that is a wettable powder at our store that is a streptomycin-based item, which would A, help in fire blight, B, help in your leaf drop in the summertime for crabs. It can be applied once a month and be sprayed in the early morning. Number three, I know that I was just telling George a few minutes ago, Larry, I used to be on a maintenance crew, and one of the jobs was to go around all the crab apples and pull all the little sprouts that are coming out of the ground, and those are just called suckers or water sprouts. And a lot of it, everybody, is if a tree is grafted, the root structure probably is a little more aggressive. So the root structure is trying to come out of the ground, and people take a little pruner and clip them off. But what happens is every time you clip, what'd you do? You left the roots, and that little sucker or the water sprout, and actually we like to call them those little suckers, you can't pull them out after a while because the roots keep growing. They keep getting larger, and then you can't get them out. So I like to take a trowel, dig down around the crab, and dig them out and twist them off right where they start at the root. But there's an item now called Sucker Stopper. Sucker Stopper is an item that you can apply to those sprouts that are coming out of the crab on the ground, not on the trunk, and it will actually kill the suckers and not kill the tree. So that was off the market for a number of years. We have it back on the market, and so for somebody that's got crabs that are existing, like at a church, a commercial building, or even at a home, works really good. Now, let's say you have that crab, and it's over a deck. It's over a house. It's over a driveway that the crabs keep getting all over the car. There's an item that is called, it's a fruit stopper, and it's called Sloral. Sloral is a item that is applied right at bloom time to make sure that the blooms don't set fruit. So that's an item that we also sell on the shelf. So Here's just a couple items that you can help with your existing crabs. So from pruning, spraying, cleaning up their suckers, and maybe helping out on the fruit. So, you know, crab apples used to be the choice, like I said, everybody, for the ornamental tree in the yard. But they're so large, and so a lot of them now with our dwarf crab lineups, there's so much to choose from in a small tree lineup. So, say you're putting in a new landscaping. Say you're tired of that spot. It's time to come out. I was at a job site yesterday. It was a beautiful magnolia at a client's house. And I think they just said, we just want it out of there. And I said, oh, we can transplant it and dig it up out of there. No, we're just going to cut it out. And kind of a shame. But you know what? Their whole focus was, we can't see out the windows anymore. We can't get the view. And so things we have brought on in the small tree lineup include fragrant viburnum. We have the most fragrant plant now available, Carlisi or Korean spice viburnum. Used to be so aromatic that you can probably smell it a yard or your neighbor's yard away. And they put that into a little tree, grafted on a little four-foot trunk. Nice little plant for maybe on a protected sunny side of the house. We have globe ginkgo, which is nice. It's a grafted ginkgo, short little plant. Got the ginkgo foliage. City of Kalamazoo purchased some the other day in a contained area downtown on the walkways where they don't need a large tree, but they just need something that would provide some nice coverage, a nice shade there. You're all familiar with viburnums. They've taken viburnum Shasta and put it into a tree form. So you have that layering of the Shasta viburnum into a little tree form. Diana witch hazel, which is a great understory or a shady spot. Weeping cotoneaster tree. The lilac families have come full-blown on different varieties of tree form. So Miss Kim, Dwarf Korean, the brand-new variety of reblooming lilac called Bloomerang they've put into a little tree form. And then some of your Japanese tree lilacs, which are the last to bloom. So we have Snow Dance and Ivory Silk. So that's just a couple of varieties of lilac. And so come back. I got a few more that we could talk about. Rose of Sharon trees, they have taken that shrub form that everybody loves and turned it into the tree form. And it's just trying to work with different ideas in the landscaping that might help you, A, with privacy issue, security issue, trying not to have a tree come up by the house, A, to be able to maintain the house a little better by being able to get back in the siding. And so I've got a couple more. Larry, if you want, we could take
Let's do that.
We could take a call.
We have Andy and Lawton. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, Andy. Good morning. Good name.
Well, I have raspberry bushes in our garden. We just stuck them in there because we didn't have time to plant them and spread them out.
Mm-hmm.
So can we transplant them now? Or
no? Andy, have they been in 1 year? Are they just a couple months? Are they a year old in there?
About two.
2 years. Okay. And Andy, do you see some leaves coming out on them yet? They're leafing out pretty good now?
Yeah.
Andy, it might be a little late. You might want to say you might actually get a little fruit out of them if they're 2 years old. But myself is maybe in March or early April when they're still dormant. Andy, if you wanted to move them now, what you could do is if you lifted them up, I would go ahead and cut some of that foliage off if you're
okay.
gonna transplant them, get them out of the spot in a row so you can move them out. Or wait till all that fruit maybe would set on them and then transplant them in the late summer, like in August, when there's time to get them cut back and then reset in the ground so they'll root in by fall.
Okay.
So a couple of things is if you want to move them today, just go ahead and cut the tops back a little bit so you can compensate because you're going to cut up root, aren't you? You're going to lift them up. You'll cut some of that root off, so you got to compensate and cut a little of the top off if you're moving them. Or wait till mid-August when it gets really hot and you start seeing fall coming, and then you can move them then and get them rooted in before fall.
Okay.
All right. Good luck
on the
raspberries.
Thank you, bye.
You bet,
okay,
buddy.
And thanks for the call, Andy. Now we have Jenny in Martin. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Jenny. How are you?
Morning. Good. How are you?
Good, good. What's happening in Martin today?
I have a dogwood, and I love dogwoods, and mine is not doing well at all. I put it in a place where I shouldn't have, and I was wondering if I move it between the garage and I have another tree way to the right of it, it would be a little more protected.
Good.
And I wonder if that is a Good idea. And what time of year can I do that?
You bet. Jenny, I got to ask a couple questions. How long has the dogwood been there?
About 3 years, but it's very small. It hasn't.
Hasn't done much. Okay. Jenny, I usually would say, let's wait till fall. But because it's struggling, let's get it up and out. All you're going to do is benefit the plant. Yes, you might see a little of the transplant shock, but when it is, Jenny, may I ask, is the dogwood have leaves on it right now? Is it leafing out okay?
Just, yeah, barely. But barely. I experienced frost last year, I think it was.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And it's just not, it's not doing well at all. It's not really blossomed much.
So we're just talking about the water. So before you dig it, go ahead and mud it in. Make a little trench around the dogwood and water the trench two or three times the night before. And then early in the morning, I go ahead and lift that dogwood up and out. Let's see what's happening. Probably maybe really dry. Maybe not enough of the right soil to make a nice humus so they can set back in. And you just said yourself, probably not in the right spot. So if you ever see, like if you're driving on a Sunday and you nice nature tour, you always see the dogwoods in shelter, don't you, Jenny?
Yes.
They're always like in a woods line or somewhere tucked. So just like you said, bring it over in a spot where you're going to get a little more shelter. Don't let the grass grow around it. Don't let the famous weed whip or mower damage get to it. Mulch it well. Maybe put some other perennials around it, Jenny, that might cool the root structure. I've got some little information on mulching, but they do say 2 to 3 inches of mulch around that base of that plant would be very beneficial, but not on the trunk.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I guess you brought up one other idea that I had.
Mm-hmm.
The tree ring that you put around, it's from tires.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good material to put around the trees?
The ground up, the rubber mulch?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Well, not the ground up.
Oh,
it's
just a tire.
Skirt, like a skirt.
You know what, Jenny, that's fine. I think the tire is at least telling the maintenance person, you, son, family, whatever, that stop there. Don't weed whip up to the tire. Don't, you know, it's like an edging. That way you're not weed whipping that trunk. And I'll tell you, that's the number one thing that kills a tree out in a yard is somebody trying to maintain it. And they keep girdling it every week. So if anything, the tire probably is holding all the issues that might hurt the trunk around it. So okay. I'd say that's fine.
Okay, good.
So make sure, Jenny, when you're transplanting it back over, use Mike, M-Y-K-E. The mycorrhiza will have that dogwood flush out good. Cocoa mulch, cow manure, and peat moss down in the ground. You're going to make that plant feel like it's gotten back into a better spot. The mic will make that little dogwood's roots flush and kick in. Cow manure and peat moss and the cocoa down in the ground. All you're doing is trying to create an environment just like you'd find out in the woods.
Perfect.
Okay, hey, good luck on that dogwood.
So
thanks, Jenny.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, thanks for the call. Now we have Adam in Kalamazoo. And good morning, Adam. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Adam. How can I be of help today?
I have a question about my garden. I'm getting ready to plant and buy some seedlings to plant and get the garden in the ground. And I'm selecting or thinking about what type of tomatoes to plant. And last year I planted a few varieties. My Roma tomatoes did really well. My Southwood tomatoes did really well. And my cherry tomatoes did really well. But I'd really like an heirloom tomato plant that does well. And I planted one last year and it grew probably 4 or 5 feet tall and looked really nice, but the fruit just didn't develop. The fruit appeared, but it kind of split open and never matured. Do you have any advice with heirloom tomatoes on how to plant them or what variety does better than another variety?
Well, Adam, I'll tell you, on heirlooms, I'll probably need some help too, but I will say this. Heirlooms or the older varieties have been hybridized. That's where you're seeing. You just said it yourself. My Romas did good. You know, a lot of times like Better Boy or Beefsteak or Early
yep.
Girl, those are all great names, but they're not an heirloom. They've been hybridized. And so you step back in time, you're going to find more traditional or the older varieties that maybe, Adam, didn't produce as well. Yes, they have the old name to them, but a lot of times those varieties maybe didn't have the oomph or the vigor of some of that hybridizing. So my thoughts are, with an heirloom, for sure, they do not like overhead irrigation. So I always like to make sure that the ground is mulched either with grass clippings or cypress mulch or cedar mixed around them. So when you are watering, the splash does not hit the ground and work and go back up the bottom side of the tomato itself. A lot of times the heirlooms are more susceptible to disease than some of your newer varieties. I can say this, in Heritage and Botanical Seed Interest, both at the store, we have very good lineup of heirloom seed varieties. And then our perennial department have two of those grafted tomatoes, Burpee and then Mighty Mato, both of those, definitely not heirloom varieties. But if you're trying to do newer ideas with your tomatoes, those are both new introductions that might kick in nicely too. Heirlooms are going to like more food. They're going to like a little more feeding on them. So I'd get a Spoma tomato tone. Okay. Tomato tone is going to make that plant kick in more. And then my last thing, you just said it got about 4 or 5 feet but didn't get much fruit?
Yes. Well, I actually had fruit, and then the fruit just never matured, or before it was mature, kind of split open and never really got edible.
Okay. So a lot of times when it splits open, again, older variety, hit blossom end rot. There's a blossom spray that you can put on. It's a calcium base, Adam, that will help in that, avoiding the splitting. And that would get you a good start on how to make that tomato better. Oh, I was going to say on the heirloom, too, if you got the size, but maybe you need to almost do a little pruning. Because it sounds funny, because then you'll see more sunlight get into the plant, less foliage, more sun, more ripening of that plant, of that fruit on the vine better.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, Adam. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Adam. And we are going to be right back in just a moment with more of Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell, on 590 WKZO.
Waddell's Garden Center is the place you can count on for the freshest bird feed at great prices. This is the time of year birds are nesting, so they'll need extra energy. This week, it's special pricing on 8 wild bird feed favorites. For a big variety of birds, Waddell's recommends Songbird Blend. The 25-pound bag is on sale for just $15.87. Thistle seed is just 97 cents a pound, or save even more and get 50 pounds for $40.97. And the 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seed is on sale for the low price of $21.67. And don't forget the hummingbirds. It's time to get your hummingbird feeders up. This week, save 25% on your choice of over 40 styles of hummingbird feeders. Want a feeder that lasts? Get an Aspex Hummingbird Feeder. They have a lifetime warranty, and this week they're 25% off as well. There is a difference. Check out the feeds you can get at other stores, then see the 20 top quality blends at Waddell's. You'll want to keep your feeders full of what the birds like best. So shop Waddell's Garden Center, your bird feeding headquarters for 67 years, on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
At 9:38, we are back, and once again, your host for Over the Garden Fence, gardening expert Andy Waddell.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you for all the callers this morning. You know, tomatoes can be a challenge. So I know Adam was having some challenge with the heirloom varieties, and there's just hundreds of old varieties of heirlooms. So good luck to you, and again, stop in. The Botanical Seed Interest or Heritage are both seed companies that Karen sells on the sales floor that would get a lot of the heirloom varieties. And I'll tell you, we had great luck with seed on the tomatoes last year. They grew almost as fast as the plants and really kicked in on a lot of the varieties that Danielle planted. Earlier, we were talking about small trees. We're trying to help you in the landscaping today. And we're talking about, we left off with lilacs and just a few more, and we can wrap up some of the ideas on how to take care of them. We talked about Rosa Sharon tree, and there's a new one called Freedom. And we also have Globe Catalpa and Weeping Larch. Now, on these small trees, just make sure, wrap your tree trunk on the small tree with tree wrap the first three winters. Wrap it on Thanksgiving, take it off on Mother's Day. The idea with the tree wrap, freeze-thaw on the west and the south side. A lot of times that winter sun will heat up that trunk, make it split, and then at night it gets cold. Expansion, contraction, and you'll see a split real easy on a tree trunk. Number two, winter kill usually happens on small trees because the plant doesn't have enough moisture to keep it alive, or to have moistures and molecules or droplets of molecules around that root structure, allowing for dehydration or desiccation of the moisture. So that's what we really consider winter kill. So this sounds funny, but when you're basting your turkey for Thanksgiving, go out and water your plants one more time and mulch your plants properly. Larry, I was telling a few minutes ago that we were at a job site this week, and the apartments probably, or the condominiums, were told in the spring, let's get all the mulch out, get everything mulched again this spring, make it all look good. And all the mulch, and I won't say where, Larry, but it's somewhere really close here.
Okay.
They were all volcanoes. Every one of the tree had 6 to 10 inches of mulch on it, at least 4 to 6 inches. But there was mulch from last year and the year before and the year before. And so I told Larry, it's like putting water right above my nose, not right below it. Or it's almost like putting that much mulch on a tree trunk. It's like sticking your arm below water and just leaving it there for a couple days. After a while, it's going to get wrinkly. And think of that tree trunk being dry all the time and suddenly adding moisture to it that can't dry out. Doing mulch right, though, will actually reduce soil temperatures. Our MSU crop report in a research trial in Southwest Michigan, we found that 3 inches of wood chip mulch will reduce midday soil by 18 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, that's a great benefit. It adds organic matter. As mulch breaks down, it adds organic matter to the soil, which aids in the soil's ability to retain important plant nutrients such as potassium, magnesium, calcium, and iron. I will say it will help immensely with the weed control, or the famous lawnmower blight, or the string trimmer trauma. It's providing a little buffer, just like the one Jenny set up in Martin, putting a rubber tire on it. I'll tell you, it's better than not having anything. A lot of times that mower, and I did it myself, trying to mow up close to the burrow, darn it all, that side of the mower, cut off one of the little part of the tree trunk down the bottom, just kind of almost kicked myself for it. So weed whackers and string trimmers and mowers usually are the demise of a tree out in the yard. So how much mulch should I apply? The deeper is not always the better. 2 to 3 inches of mulch is adequate to get maximum benefit in most cases. So if a site already has mulch from last year, a nice thin 1-inch top dressing is more than adequate. When planting perennials or mulching the perennials, please care not to spread the mulch over the crown of the plant. What will happen is it's almost like laying a board down on the lawn. A couple days, pick that board up. The lawn kept growing, but now it turned white. I'll put mulch underneath it. Same on top of a perennial. Same thing. It's going to contort and twist a little bit. So the best mulch to use, a lot of it is your choice. But I'll say rubberized and wood mulch, probably going to be a little more for hold moisture, whereas stone, first to freeze, first to thaw. So Larry, we're almost done. I want to share one quick thing.
Sure, go ahead.
And you know what? We have a generations that kind of get away from the gardening. So we hire some very nice young men and young lady and older ladies and men at Waddell's. And so you made a comment about one of your daughters not being able to read a clock because everybody looks at their clock and their cell phone.
That's right.
Well, this young man, super nice guy, got out on a landscape crew this week. And crew manager came back later on the day and says, how'd this gentleman do? And he said, well, Larry had never run a shovel. He didn't even know how. He was shoveling it like it was the ground, like it was cereal. So as all you are chuckling there, I think he was trying to find the motor on the shovel. So all of you who are older generations, maybe harbor that young child, young person, young teenager,
yeah,
and show them some of the benefits of getting outside. Maybe you don't have to shovel with your Wii or your iPad today. Maybe you want to do it. Get out in the garden and relax with the family. So, and just a little side note, and a great worker he was and still is with us. It's
good.
Just a little side note that maybe you can teach next generation about gardening.
Thanks so much, Andy, and thanks for listening to Over the Garden Fence this morning with your host, Andy Waddell, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, corner of Millam and 12th Street. Tune in again next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for Over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO.